We're gonna start. We're gonna explore the Machzor. We probably won't have so much time to focus on each individual piece, but we're gonna first give a general introduction. You don't need it. You won't need a Machzor, and you won't need a Shi. You'll be okay. We're gonna give a general introduction first, I think, to a certain outlook, perspective on Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, and then with that we could explore one or two or a few more lines specifically of the Machzor. So where we begin with is when you think about Rosh Hashanah, when you think of what words come to mind, so probably the first thing that will come to your mind is the shofar. And then what will come to mind is Yom HaDin, and you'll think of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, and maybe tshuva, even though the role of tshuva in Rosh Hashanah is not so simple. Tzedakah, right? Tshuva, tzedakah, tefillah, exactly. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, exactly. How tshuva works in Rosh Hashanah is not so simple. It's true, it's the beginning of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, but we don't focus, we're going to talk about this, we don't focus it on, if you look at all our tefillos, opposed to a stark contrast to Yom Kippur, we don't mention, there's no word of chet at all. Everybody knows we don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah because it's the gematria, some sort of chet. There's no focus of chet at all. Where Yom Kippur, we sit all day Yom Kippur, you can't even count the many times we say al chet and we say each individual chet. So the way tshuva works in Rosh Hashanah, hopefully we'll walk out with a little bit of a new perspective of exactly what the role of tshuva is in Rosh Hashanah. But what comes to mind, I think, first is the shofar obviously plays the primacy of the day. That's the mitzvah daraisa that we have to fulfill on the day. And the din is what the shofar is there for, to play a part and hopefully get us getting a good, proper judgment in Rosh Hashanah. Then how the tefillah fits in is not so simple. It's true that we spend the bulk of the day in shul and davening, but how does the such focused emphasis on tefillah fit into the din, to the shofar, to the way we envision Rosh Hashanah? Is tefillah really the first thing that comes to mind? But I think the reason, just to shift the perspective, it really is the whole focus, the whole nature of the day really is a day of tefillah. So much so that the shofar itself, which we would think, okay, the shofar, that's our main goal in Rosh Hashanah, we have to make sure we blow the tekiyos properly, the shofar is focused on tefillah. And really, at its core, what the mitzvah of shofar is a tefillah. That's part of what the mitzvah of shofar is to accomplish. Through blowing the shofar, it's a certain kind of tefillah. It's not the same kind of tefillah in which we recite from the Machzor of Shemona Esrei, but the shofar is a tefillah. How do we know this? Where do we see this from? The first place we really see this from is in the Machzor. This is a proof that Rav Soloveitchik and his uncle, the Brisker of Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, they both bring this proof. So let's, for example, when we go through the Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and we recite the various psukim. I think they broke this Machzor up and put it all in the back. Okay. When we recite the various psukim of the Malchus Zichronos and Shofros, and at the end of that, we blow the tekiyos for the second chilek. We blow the tekiyos for that given seder Malchus Zichronos and Shofros. At the end of that, we say that Hashem Shivim Mekabel Kol Tekiyosein. All right, what's the exact lashon here? Let me just find the first set. Okay, so we blow. And we say Hayom HaRasalam, and then we say Ata Zocher, and then we say, Zichronos, so we say, one second, here, here we go, second, Ata Zocher, but we say, here, so, I think that, Zichronos is Zichronos. Here we're Malchios, right here. So we say that, right, Hashem, you have different pages I'm in. So we say that through the Tekiyos, right, Hashem should be Mekabel Kol Tekiyosenu. So what does that mean, Hashem should be Mekabel Kol Tekiyosenu? Normally, like we say in Shema Kolenu, Hashem should be Mekabel Kol Tefilasenu. So we're using the same type of language of Kol Tefila and Kol Tekiyah, because the Tekiyos themselves are a form of tefillah. We actually see this play itself out, not just in the nusach of the Machzor in Rosh Hashanah, but it's actually true in halacha as well. There's many examples, so there's just a few examples. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that we cannot put gold gold. We can't gold plate a shofar. You can't put a gold mouthpiece or put gold on the shofar. And the reason why the Gemara explains this, what this is of a halacha called Ein Kategor Nasa Senegor. A Kategor is a prosecutor, right, in terms of a mashal of law. A Kategor is a prosecutor, and a Senegor is the defender. So what does it mean, Ein Kategor Nasa Senegor? Why would gold be a prosecutor? Because we know that gold is from the Chet Egel. Gold was used for a Chet, so we can't put something that was used for a Chet on top of something else that is so there's a lot of things that are gold. Excellent. So the Gemara asks that the better example, that on Yom Kippur, the big day Kohen Gadol, the big day Kuna, their big day, there's the Kohen Gadol wears the big day Zav, and he wears the big day Lav, and he changes, right? That's what we say in the Avodah of Yom Kippur. He changes back and forth through the different series, ends up changing and doing washing his hands and feet 5 times over the course of the day of Rosh Yom Kippur. He changes between the big day Zav and the big day Lavan. The big day Zav, the clothes are made out of gold, and he's going to do the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. What about the halacha of Ein Kategor Nasa Senegor? The Gemara says that there's only a problem Ein Kategor Nasa Senegor when he's going Lefnim, when he's going inside the Kodesh Kedoshim. And that is why the Kohen Gadol wears only white clothes in the Kodesh Kedoshim. Why exactly that is? So it sounds like that the going in, the such an intense personal moment of being in the Kodesh Kedoshim, that's where it's the ultimate Senegor, the ultimate defendant. Then the Gemara asks the shofar, what's the problem with the shofar? So the Gemara explains, and the Ritva elaborates on the Gemara over there in Rosh Hashanah, in the third parak, in the beginning of the third parak. The Ritva says that the Gemara says that the kol shofar is kilifnim dami. That's all it says. You cannot play the shofar on Shabbos. Right? That's for a different reason, probably because of the gzeira of klishir. The Gemara says that when the shofar is blown and has gold on it, that kol is kilif nimdami. It's like it's going into the Kodesh Kedoshim. I mean, the Ritva explains in that Gemara, and he says in another context as well, that the point of the mitzvah of shofar is like a karbon. It's like bringing a karbon. It's achieving a ritzoi. A ritzoi means, you know, l'ratzon lefnei Hashem, that it should be pleasing. It should affect something positively in front of the eyes of Hashem. Yes, please.
So there's a lot of issues here, because for us the mitzvah is to listen
to listen to the shofar.
Ordinary tefillah, we have to say something.
Right, so that itself is actually not, so that might be the two aspects of the shofar. So the Rambam says that the point of the mitzvah of shofar is lishmoa. That's the bracha. The Rambam's bracha is lishmoa, kol shofar. But some Rishonim have a nusach lebracha litkoa. That the main mitzvah is not for us to hear. The main mitzvah is to blow the tekios. It's not a mitzvah of hearing. It's an act of blowing. And even according to the Rambam, that the main focus of the mitzvah is shmiya. There are some indications that there's two aspects. So it could be what you're alluding to. So a bigger discussion, that there's really two aspects of the shofar. There's the shofar that we're supposed to achieve by us blowing. It's supposed to achieve a certain rachamim for us, like we say that Hashem should remember the kiddush mitzvah. And then, like the Rambam says, the shofar is also to for us to have a certain response of tshuva. The Rambam says, at least the remez, he says, that I can't tell you the reason why we blow the shofar, but I can tell you what hint is behind the shofar. The Rambam says the remez is that we should hear the shofar, and we should use it as a wake-up call to spur ourselves to tshuva. So then, well, maybe we'll tie these two aspects of the shofar together. But what the Gemara is saying is,
what's wrong with the chait, the correlation with the chait and chait?
What chait?
You know, with the gold.
The gold, meaning you can't put gold on. You can't.
Yeah,
put,
what was wrong with that?
No. So then, why do you need to come onto an explanation? You're saying?
Yeah.
Because the Gemara says there's only a problem of using gold if it's something that's going lifnim inside the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Kohen Gadol wears gold outside.
No, we gave the reason that you shouldn't have the gold because the Chet Egel.
Right.
And but the shofar also is supposed to because it's tshuva because of the Chatzim.
Right. So we can't, right, no, but so, but what we're saying is that that's true also. I mean, that's another reason why you would want to avoid having
that's
a chet.
Exactly right.
It's associated with the shofar. But the Gemara, the line the Gemara says is that by through blowing the shofar, it's like we're going inside. It's like we're going into the Kodesh Kedoshim.
Okay,
meaning
means
the kol, and like what the Gemara, what the Ritva explains is the kol of the shofar is supposed to reach the ears of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's going inside. It's going very close. It's a tool that we're using to come even closer. So we can't use something that's associated with chet for that as well. And just one final proof that we see the connection between the tefillah and the shofar, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, a little bit later in the third parak, has a discussion between the shofar and the chatzrotzos. Which should the shofar be? Should be straight, a shofar, or the shofar should be bent? And the Gemara quotes two opinions. We obviously have our shofars are not horns. They're not like a horn or an instrument. It's more curved. It's not a straight instrument. And the reason why this is, the Gemara... What?
Which item, if I can use that word, that's associated with any chag, even gets thought about being covered with gold?
I mean, which item is associated?
Yeah, it's nothing.
Nothing.
Like a lulav, you got an esrog. I mean, like...
Esrog gold.
The holder, but the item itself...
The mouthpiece.
The
lulav, exactly. The mission sukkah, yeah.
But not the lulav.
You can't have a gold lulav. Okay, that's what, we're not saying you're going to... No, you're not making a gold... No, you're not making a gold shofar. The shofar is made... The mission is clear. It's made from a horn, from a ram. But you would want... Of course, it'd be a great business. You want to decorate it. You want to put a tip or a mouthpiece to help you.
Inter-mitzvah.
Yeah.
You want to beautify it.
You put a towel. What do you mean? You don't
it
have
is
a towel.
Kind of unbelievable.
Listen, you have a towel on your talus.
I'm just saying, throughout all the years, all the other things right, that
people have tempered. We're looking at
the shofar. No, there's a mitzvah to have towel tempers.
What about a sukkah? So put a gold. Put gold walls on the side.
Okay, so that there a sukkah might be a different gold than mitzvah.
I haven't tempered with that.
What was that?
I'm saying throughout the 3,000 years, I'm saying it. Everybody uses a shofar.
Simple shofar.
No,
right.
Nobody.
Okay, yeah, it'd be different than hugging me if you're giant,
yes,
big shofar.
Right. I'm saying, but everybody still uses the
same regular shofar. Exactly.
No matter what part of the religion?
So when the Gemara is discussing what should the shofar be, should it be straight or should it be curved a little bit? Rashi on that Gemara says, what are the two opinions about? It's parallel to how a person should daven. One opinion says that a person should daven straight up. He should be somewhat confident. He should daven straight up. And that since his posture of davening should be straight, the shofar should be played. The other opinion that Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, that sometimes it's good for a person to bend over when he davens. He should humble himself. Therefore, the shofar should be a little bent. So you see from this Rashi, as Rav Soloveitchik pointed to, that why would we do that? We're trying to figure out how the shofar should be positioned. So we should find the proof from Hilchos Shofar. We should look in the Pesukim, the way the Torah describes the shofar. That's the way we should figure out how the shofar should be shaped. We're going to the way a person's posture of tefillah is to figure out how the shofar should look. What do you see from this Rashi? That's exactly the point. Because the shofar, parallel with what we recite on the day of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar and our tefillahs work together. They are different forms of tefillahs. One is through our words, knowing exactly, and we're going to focus on what we're supposed to be saying. And one is more of a tefillah that's purely from the heart. It's pure emotion, because there are no words involved with the shofar. But it's to elicit a certain emotion that we're all feeling inside. We can't, Rav Soloveitchik says, we can't express. There are certain feelings on Rosh Hashanah that we have for how our year is going to look like, for the zchuyos the Klal Yisrael needs, and we know that it's such a dire situation that we can't even express it in words. There's a certain form of tefillah that's called a sa'aka. Klal Yisrael just feels they need to scream out, and that is what the shofar accomplished for us. And that is part of the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, feeling that need to scream out, feeling that need that maybe things aren't so simple, and the way things are going, Klal Yisrael needs to merit certain zechuyos. And that explains another halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says that on Rosh Hashanah, Shulchan Aruch says it's permissible for a person, not necessarily recommended, but it's permissible for a person to daven Shmoneh Esrei out loud, audible. Normally, the Shulchan Aruch says earlier in Hilchos Tefillah, how should a person properly daven? He should daven, he should recite the words like we learn from Chana. It should be somewhat audible to his own ears, but no one else should be able to hear his tefillos. On Rosh Hashanah, Shulchan Aruch says if a person needs to awaken his kavanah a little bit, he has to daven a little bit louder, that is permissible. And the Mefarshim are bothered. Why would that be different? All of a sudden, the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah is different. And an answer that's given by some of the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch and the altar from Kelm has the same answer, says that the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, like we're saying from the shofar, is a totally different type of tefillah than the rest of the year. Because Rosh Hashanah, by its definition, even if a person may not feel it, is called a tefillah be'es sarah. It's a tefillah in a dire time. There are times in throughout Jewish history where there's an actual Esara, there's a Gzera and Klai Yisrael, and Klai Yisrael gets together and we scream out. On Rosh Hashanah, for every individual, even if everything in our life is at least we think the way it should be, and we just want it to continue, and then we ask Hashem and Rosh Hashanah that we should just continue seeing the same brachos, it's an Esara. We don't know. We don't know how our din is going to come out. Every year doesn't necessarily hold just because things have been one way for 30 years doesn't mean that it's going to continue for the next year. And for every person, our tefillah, we're in such a dire situation that we need to scream out, we need to cry into Hashem, and that's the focus of the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. So with that background, we could start to think about how should our tefillahs be focused. When we get up there and we're davening, and those days it's not as hard the rest of the year to have some kavana, and we're focusing the words of the tefillah, what should be going through our heads? Naturally, what's going to be going through our heads is what's in store for us in this coming year. And that we'll have a whole long laundry list of things that we need. And a person might be looking, he wants to switch a job, he has parnas in his mind. He has children, he's looking to marry off children, he has shiduchim in his mind. He has younger children, he's looking, he just wants to, you know, his children to be successful in yeshiva, in school. Whatever person has on his mind, you know, he is, unfortunately, Rachman al Tzani, he has someone that he's associated with who's sick. So he's focused on refuah shleima. Okay, those are all the natural kavanos that a person should have on Rosh Hashanah. With that in mind, I'm going to read something that you might find shocking and is going to change our perspective on how we view the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, and hopefully we'll bring it all together to how we normally associate Rosh Hashanah. Before I read you these lines, just there's an often quoted Zohar. I think the Zohar is actually said about Yom Kippur, but they quote it equally about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that if a person asks on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and says, Hashem, give, give, the Zohar says, have, have. Right, give me, give me. So the Zohar criticized that person and it calls him a dog. Like a dog. A dog, you know, sits there at his master's feet and says, give, give. And the dog begging. Exactly. There we go, Simi. Excellent imitation there. Okay, so that we can understand, meaning we should, Rosh Hashanah shouldn't just be focused on what we need, give, give, give in a begging way. Maybe that's the way we can understand the Zohar. But I'm going to read to you from the Nefesh HaChaim, Chaim Belajner, in Shar Beis, where he talks about tefillah. And he says that when a person davens in general, he quotes a pasuk in Yoel, lifnei, it's a pasuk in Yoel, says like this, Hashem nasan kolo, lifnei chilo, ki rav ma'od machaneu. Hashem gives the voice to someone who's going to daven lifnei chilo, in front of his chayal, in front of his soldier, and Hashem has a great company, a great machane, a great group of soldiers to daven. So what is this pasuk trying to say? He says, "Remez zeh ikar gadol shel inyan tefillah," that it's a hint of a main point of tefillah. Shekol kumraso hu lechaven rach lehosif koch bekdusha. What does a soldier do? All a soldier is interested in giving up himself, right? If you think of the old-fashioned the knights of the king of England, all they're doing, all they're interested in, is giving up their honor should be their mesiras nefesh, all their energies should be given for the honor of the king. Everything that they do is really not for them, it's just for the kavod of the melech. So that the crown of the melucha should be able to spread out across the world. That's what a proper soldier should do. And how do I know this? The einenu haraos. And our eyes could see. But nusach hatfilas Rosh Hashanah. Let's go through the machzor a little bit. Let's just start from the beginning of the machzor. As soon as the machzor moves over out of the regular day of Shemona Esrei, right? After Akah, Atah Kadosh. What's the first request? Let's see who's up on their mach. So I saw that they started putting out some comments from the students of Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yikom Zevam, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that his students would collect different thoughts that he said over the years, and they started putting them out. So in terms of Rosh Hashanah, I saw one of his talmidim said that he used to tell them, the boys in his shir, that it's never too early to take the dust off your machzor. It's a good idea always, you know, sometime in the summer, in Elul, you know, take your machzor off the shelf, dust it off, and get familiar again with the tefillah. So we'll have our quiz. What's the first words, right? We say, Atah Kadosh, Shiv HaKadosh, Toshim B'chol Yom Yaluch HaSelah, and we don't finish the bracha of HaMelech HaKadosh until much later. The first words that we say, besides the additions of Zachreinu L'chaim, the first Rosh Hashanah words that we say, but that's how we're chosen in the bracha. Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu. And then we say, uvechein tein kavod Hashem liyamecha. Uvechein tzadikim yiru v'yismachu. V'simloch atah Hashem levadcha. Any mention of refuah, of parnasa, the poskim say, that on Rosh Hashanah, the Matan Ephraim says it's mutter. On Shabbos, we say Shabbos even milazak fuor kovalavo. Right? We say even though it's Shabbos, we're not going to Rosh Hashanah. You can make regular bakasha. So it's mutter to say this person needs a fuor shleim. I need parnasa. No mention at all. Einenu haros benusach tefilas Rosh Hashanah shehu mesuder mirosho viad sofo, from the beginning until the end. Rak akvod malchusa yisbarach, that Hashem's kavod in this world should be greater. We
don't
should be like those.
Shabbos.
What? Shabbos?
We don't have that on Shabbos.
Okay, so we don't have bakashas on Shabbos. Yeah. Right, that's for a different reason. Shabbos is not a day to make bakashas, but for a completely different reason. But the tefillos of Shabbos is very simple. It's simple. Tefillos and Shabbos are about Shabbos. Right?
And the Chagim also.
Right? But that, and we say, when we, okay, Rosh Hashanah, we also mentioned it, but the main crux of the tefillah of Shabbos, where we make the bracha of to be of the Kedushas Hayom, we do make bakashas. They're spiritual bakashas, but we say we mentioned that in Rosh Hashanah as well, but that's not the emphasis of our tefillos. Shabbos, you're right, the point of tefillah on Shabbos is to connect more to the Kedusha of Shabbos, and because of the Kedusha of Shabbos, we don't make bakashas. In Rosh Hashanah, we are making bakashas, but those bakashas are focused towards Malchus Hashem. And the Gra, it's not the Gra's students, is a student of the Gra, but the Gra's other students in the Siddur HaGra, where they put out the Machzor of some of the comments of the Vilna Gaon, he takes his point even further. And he says that what I just raised, that why shouldn't we don't mention Tshuva, we don't mention Chet on Rosh Hashanah. He says it's better that we don't, that it's better that some say we don't mention Chet because we don't want to make the Midas Adin aware of our Chatayim. We don't want to start mentioning our Chet. But then the Gra says, no, if that's the reason, really it's better to mention our Chet, because he says the Halacha is, and we know all over the Gemara, Moda B'Kenas, it's Pater. If you have a Kenas, let's say you someone stole, and he owes Kefil, right? He owes the double payment. So if you go to Beis Din, and you admit to your crime before they bring the whole Din out, then you're Pater. Admitting your crime, if they have to bring Edim and they catch you, then you have to pay. But if you run to the Bezdin and you confess before, you're Pater. So the Gra says you should confess your sins on Rosh Hashanah. That's a good way to get out of the Din, because you'll be Pater, you'll confess, and it'll be like Modeh B'Kenas. So why is it that we don't mention our sins? Says the Gra, because we're not supposed to be focusing on ourselves on Rosh Hashanah. We're supposed to be focused on ourselves in light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in light of how the world looks. And he quotes, he paraphrases a very similar lashon to Rabbi Yehuda Levi. It wasn't so long ago.
Slichas before
have to do with purely tshuva. We're not making any bakashas. We're asking for bakashas.
You don't have no words.
But we have slichas before. We have slichas afterwards. Rosh Hashanah is day one and day two of a Aseres Yimei Tshuva.
Right.
When you think we have slichas, so the reason why we don't do that, says the Gra, and he paraphrases the language of Rabbi Yehuda Levi. Rabbi Yehuda Levi says in the Kinos that we didn't say so long ago. Tzion halot tishali. So Rabbi Yehuda Levi says, how can I look out at sunlight? He says, the light of the sun can't be sweet to my eyes, and food can't taste pleasant to my palate when I'm here living in where I am, and I see that Hashem's Eretz Yisrael is in the state that it's in, and I can't be there. So the Gra paraphrases those lines in the Talmud of Gra, and he says, Eich arev l'nafshi ochel, oh, eich ma'ur hayom yemasuk le'enai, how could the light of the day be sweet to my eyes? Oh, ich es aves achayim. How can I even have any taiva to live? How can I have enjoyment in my life if I see the heichal, the palace of the Melech Hashem, is destroyed? Based on Migdash, Hashem's presence in this world, this Rosh Hashanah, with what's going on in the world, is not such a hard thing to relate to. You know, hopefully the whatever should work out. You know, Hashem should work out the plan, the best for what's best for the Jewish people. But to have talks of the American government and the civilized world making agreements with our enemies of all upstanding moral civilization, forgetting our home in Eretz Yisrael. So think of the Chil Hashem that's involved. Think of the rebellion that's happening against the Melech Hashem. And the Gra says that therefore a person's focus on his tefillos should not be about himself, but it should be surely be about Malchus Shammai. Okay, that's one perspective. Two issues with that. First of all, you're probably thinking to yourself, that's extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult to be able to close my eyes to how I'm feeling in Rosh Hashanah, to my family, to my needs, and I'm just going to focus my tefillos and say nothing about myself, but all the Rishayim should disappear, and Hashem should alone, and I'm only going to focus on on the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kivyachol's needs. Point A, it's very difficult for us to accomplish. Point B, it says we saw Salanter and some of his Talmidim, the Balei Musar, if a person would trick himself and think, okay, I like this idea, it's a good shiur, take my notes, take it home, tell my family, this Rosh Hashanah, we're going to only focus on Malchus Hashem. No more, you know, fill in blank, whatever your last name is. No more, you know, Finkelstein family, Bakashos Malchus Hashem. Okay? But if we're not actually feeling that, if we don't live our lives like the tzaddikim who went into Galus, like the Vilna Gaon, and said, if Hashem's in Galus, I'm going to go into Galus and remove all of my physical comforts and go around from town to town to mimic the Galus of the Shekhinah. If we're not living our lives that way, but we say with our mouths our tefillos that way, but in our hearts we're far from it, not only is that pointless because we're not there, says Rav Tzadok Salanter, we're actually, we could bring more harm than good in ourselves. Because Hashem is going to look at us on Rosh Hashanah and say, on Rosh Hashanah? Okay, you want to fake me out, you know, and act all better than you are the rest of the year? Okay, fine, maybe we can talk about it. But on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to stand up in Rosh Hashanah and daven in a way in which is not really in your heart. So the Rosh Salanter says that you could bring a kitrug, you could bring more prosecution to yourself, something that should be avoided. Now, how do we reconcile these two things? The Gra is saying, Chaim Lajner is saying, all our focus should be Machas Hashem. But we naturally feel inside ourselves the need to take care of our own needs. And we all think that should be warranted. Of course we should have the right to ask for our needs on Rosh Hashanah. So to understand that, I think to look at a little bit of the Machzer and the goal of Rosh Hashanah, I think we could come up with a Kasev HaShlishi, we could come up with some sort of answer of how we could have the proper approach to our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah. And as we pointed out with those few lines, you know, Simcha Hashem Levarcha and the Tzadikim and the Hein Kavod, the whole theme of the Machzer is Hashem's glory. The major crux of Rosh Hashanah, the tefillos, Machios, Zichronos, and Shofros, and how those accompany the shofar. So much so, I don't know if you ever noticed this, that the bracha, where we each bracha, each of the siddarim, right, Malchios, Zecharos, and Shofros, each one has their own bracha. But Malchios, the bracha of Malchios, is different than the other two. How so? The brachas of Malchios is included within another bracha. Where do we say it? We say the following. After we say the Kabbanos, here's Aleinu. Right, I can't figure it. Okay, Melch Kolaris. One second. Yeah, here we go. We say after we recite all the Pesukim of Malchus, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenar, Shema Lechad, then, like you said, Shabbos, we go to Elokeinu, Elokeinu, Seinu, Molach HaKulam, Kol B'Chvodecha, and then within that paragraph, we mention the normal Nusach of Yontev and Shabbos, Kachinu Mitzvasecha, Sechal Kinu Mitzvasecha, Tarli Bin Lad L'Chabi Emes, Kiyat HaLokin Emes, Baruch Emes, V'Kayim Lad, Baruch Ata Hashem, Melech HaKol Aretz, that's the Baruch of Malchus, Mekadish Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron, just like we say Mekadish Yisrael V'Shabbos. The other Zichronos has its own bracha, right? It has its own brachas. Shofar has its own bracha. Has its own bracha. So what is it? The Gemara explains. Why is it that Malchios is not its own bracha? Because Malchios got included with the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. What does that show you? That the nature of the Kedushas Hayom, the aspect of Rosh Hashanah that makes it a yontif, right? We say, Zman Cheruseinu An Pesach, the Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah is Malchios. It's focusing on the Malchus Hashem. That's the goal. And the Ramchal explains, he has a perush on the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah. The Ramchal explains in his perush that on Rosh Hashanah is the day where, when we say Hashem's the king, right, that's just referring to the way in which Hashem interacts with this world. When you talk about Hashem, his true essence, we don't describe him as the king. The king is a human term. But on Rosh Hashanah is the ultimate expression of how Hashem is acting as the king by judging us. And when the kingship of Hashem is on the front pages, so to speak, on Rosh Hashanah, that's the time for us to focus on that. That's the time for us to think about what it means that Hashem's the Melech and how he's involved in every aspect of our lives and the entire world. And through that is how our judgment comes about. That's why the Kedushas Hayom, part of that nature of Rosh Hashanah is through the judgment, is through focusing on the Malchus Hashem.
it's supposed to be the day of Rosh Hashanah, why do we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah?
Why do we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Meaning?
All over the world is 2 days, even in Israel.
Okay, so why is it that Rosh Hashanah is different than everything else?
Why are there 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Right, so the Torah only says Yom
Kippur. So that's like every other Yom Tov.
So all the in Israel they only have
so
one day.
Why is there
so the
because they hold one day because they live in Israel
and Rosh Hashanah.
No, I know, but in Russia,
why is Rosh Hashanah there? So that is a whole. So LP regular pshat and halacha. I give this one answer, and then I think the Sifrei Machshava and the Ramchal also they talk about how there's different aspects of the judgment. Therefore, there's 2 days of judgment, but according to the Torah, there's only one day,
right.
And the second day is a Yom Tov Sheni, but it's not based on Sfeika the Yoma. Because Rosh Hashanah, but it's a form of Yom Tov Sheni that they were the Gemara in Beitza explains they were mekabel upon all of Klai Yisrael, and it's not Sfeika the Yoma. The Gemara calls it a kedusha rechta. It's one kedusha, and therefore the kulos, right? Yoma rechta. So that's a whole separate topic. So when we're focusing,
it's a 48-hour, 24-hour.
Exactly. That's a good.
I understand, but why? I'm just curious. You know, like why? You know, it's something just again the Torah. It's one day. And
that's a good way of putting it. So when we focus on the Malchus Shemayim of Rosh Hashanah, the focus should be obviously not as a Malchus Shemayim as this lofty concept, but on ourselves, how we could properly be mekabel all Malchus Shemayim and make Hashem's kingship. And make Hashem's ruling over the world over us as well, and find aspects of our life where we could bring in Malchus Shemayim in a more clear fashion. And by focusing in that way, I think that's the bridge between these two aspects of our bakashos, our needs, and Hashem's kingship, Hashem's ruling and interaction in this world. Because when a person thinks about his life, and let's say he goes through his laundry list of what he needs for that year, so a person should examine, why am I asking for these things? What do I need them for? Why do I need parnasa? Why do I want, you know, nachas for my children? Why do I want success in life? Do I want it for myself? Do I want it so that I could be more of a person, and I could be more of who I envision what my life is supposed to be, what I deserve, what's my gili? Or I recognize that all these are gifts, and yes, I have calculated why I need X amount of parnasa, because I need to live my life in a certain way for Hashem. In order to bring more Malchus Shemayim in this world, I need to give to all these institutions. I need a certain amount of tzedakah. I need to live comfortably for these reasons so that I can enhance my mitzvah observance. I need to have the context to have many guests over and therefore have, you know, beautiful Shabbos meals. Not because I need to enjoy them solely for myself, but so that I could bring more Malchus Shemayim in this world. I want my kids to be on the right path, not just because, you know, that's what every parent automatically needs. I understand that the nachas for my children is really bringing nachas to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I saw quoted from Adam Gadol, who said they once asked him how he was so successful. All his children were Bnei Torah and Mechanchim, and they had a very beautiful family. And they asked him, you know, what's your secret? He said, I don't have a secret. You have to ask my wife. I think they asked his wife, and that what they said was that in all their tefillos, that most times everyone asks, you know, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, please give me nachas for my children.
Right.
They would ask, Hashem, you should have nachas for my children. Just that one small emphasis, and that's what he felt was a secret, that we all want nachas, but why? Not just so that I should have the nachas, it should be connected to Hashem. And when we go through our own personal bakashos, and they can match with what we know that Hashem wants in this world, and Hashem, give me the ability to perform your mitzvahs better, give me the ability to learn Torah better, not because that's what I selfishly want, even there could even be a level of Shema in spiritual things, but give it to me so that through me there could be more Malchus Hashem in this world. And the more those two things get matched up, then the tefillos all come together. We're asking for both at the same time. When we say B'simlachata Hashem Levadcha, okay, we are asking that all the evil forces of the world should disappear and Hashem should be sitting alone again with his Beis HaMikdash on Har HaBayis. But we're also asking, in a smaller fashion, v'simlach Hashem levadcha, we should have more Malchus Hashem, and therefore, please, this chola should be cured. Because while he's sick, there's a lack of avodas Hashem. He can't serve you properly. I'm worried about him, etc., etc. Parnassah, you could fill in the blank for anything. And that's the way to focus our tefillos. Our tefillos, the way to bridge the gap between these two aspects, is to go through the list of what we need, go through the machzor, and look, and say, when I ask for this, and when I say there should be more Yerushalayim, so do the things that I want in life add to Yerushalayim in the world, or they're not necessary? And that's the way, through our tefillos, we could become those people. And then all the tefillos of asking that there should be more Yerushalayim in this world, and that Klai Yisrael should fulfill their role as being the nation that's representative of Kedusha of Hashem in this world, which as we see in all these tefillos, is all comes together very beautiful. Just want to share one quick other thought. That's the basic gist. I just saw a very beautiful idea. Again, in the same parish of the Ramchal. And this is not just for Rosh Hashanah, that's why it's worth sharing, but it's for all of the Saris Mechuva. The extra bakashas that we add for Rosh Hashanah and Saris Mechuva. So first we say, in the first bakashas, Achinu l'chaim, melo chavetz b'chaim, b'chatzenu, b'sefer ha'chaim, l'man chelokim chaim. We just ask for chaim, like many times. Achinu l'chaim, melo chavetz b'chaim, sefer ha'chaim, chaim, four times. We have a similar phrase in the end of Shemon Esrei. And the end of Shemon Esrei, we say, "Besefer Chaim Bracha V'Shalom Parnasa Tova." Right? Chaim Tovim L'Shalom. So what changed in the beginning of Shemon Esrei? What were we asking for? Chaim. What are we asking for in the end of Shemon Esrei? Chaim that has all these good things in it. And the Ramchal gives a very interesting perspective, which is helps for the understanding the entire din of Rosh Hashanah as well. So there are two different bakashos. There's something that's called Sefer HaChaim. And what Sefer HaChaim means, based on the Gemara, is there's Sefer Shal Tzadikim, Sefer Shal Rishayim. Hashem has two camps, and we're getting decided, based on the way in which we live our life, are we going to be on the path of the Chaim, or the Tzadikim, or are we going to be on the path of the Rishayim? Not referring to are we going to live or die that year. That's not the simple, that's not the only explanation. But Sefer HaChaim, are we in a book of life, like Tzadikim have special zechuyos, they're able to accomplish much more than the natural, you think on it based on the normal teva, the way the world, how can they accomplish all the things they accomplish? Because they're in the Sefer HaChaim. Their life is on a totally different plane. And that's what we ask first. Just put us in that book where we can have that kind of life, like the path of the Tzadikim, where everything's focused, like we're saying, on the proper things. Then in the end, okay, it's very good to be in the Sefer HaChaim. That means that in general, our life is focused in the right direction, but we know there are many Tzadikim, unfortunately, who, the unanswerable question, Tzadik V'ralo. So then we're asking, within that Sefer HaChaim, once we're in the book, we're on the right path, we're not in the Sefer Rishayim, but what kind of life in Olam HaZeh are we going to have in that Sefer HaChaim? So please give us, in that Sefer HaChaim, Baruch HaShalom Parnasa Tov Nizachet Lachan HaKolam B'Yisrael Chaim Tov M'Shalom. We want Chaim Tov M'Shalom. It's not just enough. It would be great to be in the Sefer HaChaim, but then to have the Sefer HaChaim where there could be Chaim Tov M'Shalom, where we could actually enjoy in the proper sense of being in that book, and we could have basically our lot in both worlds, is what we're asking. Sefer HaChaim, we should be focused towards Olam Haba and being on that proper path. At the same time, Chaim Tov M'Shalom, that's both requests. So hopefully, with these perspectives and going through them, looking in the Machzor, trying to understand our own, how we each relate to it, we could see both of those fulfillments of Sefer HaChaim and Chaim Tov M'Shalom. Okay.